had a crazy orgy for 9 days in our restroom. This is not real therapy and should not serve as a placeholder for real therapy, but is a form of therapy for us. So hopefully you find something in it as well. We do not advocate drugs, alcohol, violence, or insanity for everyone, but it always worked for me.
Thoughts, thoughts, and therapy.
Hey, what's going on, guys? I'm Arye.
This is Ben.
We're back. Welcome to the second episode of Thoughts, Thoughts, and Therapy. This is...
Beer and Airport.
Okay, I hope you guys are excited. So, this is a story of our first spring break as university students. Like, you know, it's pretty crazy. Anyone out there that is also in a university situation either will remember their first spring break or will be looking forward to it. So, hopefully someone will find some enjoyment in this episode. So, for our spring break, we did something a little bit different. Do you want to tell us about what we did?
We had a crazy orgy for 9 days in our restroom.
Well,
was a lie. We went to Tremblant. Was our take on spring break. You know, we weren't going to do the resort in Florida. We weren't going to go south. We weren't going to go to, you know, Cancun. We decided we wanted to ski, and we were, you know, close enough with each other at the time that we had talked, you know,
just wait, I'm sorry. Can we just, like, thinking about this in retrospect, this actually seems crazy. That, like, our first, like, year in university, we'd heard all these stories of, like, spring breaking, like, you know, girls in bikinis, nice beaches. We've been stuck in a Canadian winter for, like, months.
Oh my God.
Our dumbasses were like, let's go to farther north skiing, just the two of us.
As far as we could go north, as far away from women in bikinis, where we stayed in an Airbnb that fit both of us in the same queen size bed.
Oh my gosh. Anyway.
Right. Yeah, back to the beginning. We decided that we wanted to go skiing from our first year together. I would say, you know, the biggest preface to the story is that we weren't crazy close at the time, but, like, this trip, like, definitely, like, cemented it.
Honestly, like, just, I'm trying to remember, like, how our friendship was at that point. The way I remember it is that we'd sailed together for a season. We had a successful season.
Sorry.
And, like, you know, made some memories there. We were social coordinators at that point for the sailing team, which was good. But, like, other than that, like, you know, different programs. Like, we did not hang out.
Seriously.
You, like, would drink with different people than I drank with. Yeah, definitely, like, we knew each other. We were sailing partners. But at that point, we were just sailing partners, really. We were, like, friends from sailing, and that was kind of the extent of our friendship.
Yeah, it was, like, sailing partners, like, first, and, like, kind of, like, friends after.
And it was kind of this weird thing that, like, we both were really into skiing, we knew each other were really into skiing, and that we didn't want to have a winter without skiing, so that's kind of what pushed us into that, but it definitely wasn't, like, a friendship. I think both of us did it for the skiing, not to, like, hang out with the other one, which I think was really interesting because, like, looking back...
Yeah, it turned into that.
Yeah, exactly.
It turned almost, like, from, like, skiing, like, definitely, you know, took up, like, a large portion of our time, but, like, it really turned into, like, just hanging out for, like, 9 days.
Yeah, I'm a massive advocate. Nothing against parents, but for spring break, that don't go home. Like, figure something out to do. There are so many fun and interesting things you can do. It's your first year with new people. Figure something out to do. I'm a massive advocate for that. I'm sorry, Mom and Dad, but I didn't visit you last year. Probably didn't visit you this year. Next year probably won't either. So, you know, I think they're used to it. And I've always had great experiences doing things for spring break, so I'd highly suggest it. So let's tell the story of trying to figure out, A, how to, like, get somewhere to ski as, like, you know, college students, B, like, the problems with that, and then just, like, the story itself.
Really quick, just want to add on again. Don't, you know, go home. Nothing against your parents, but for spring break, you know, I would push, if you've got the money for it, you know, plan a trip, plan anything. You know, whether you go home and you go, you know, road trip, you go visit family, you know, go somewhere, you know, other than your home. Especially push, you know, push connections with friends. You know, if I couldn't do this trip with you, I really think I would have, like, pushed some crazy way to find, you know, to do something, you know, with someone else. But, like, this was it, this one.
Yeah, honestly, that idea of pushing things with friends, even if you're nervous about them, like, I don't know, looking back, I definitely didn't foresee, like, becoming as good friends with Ben as I did, and this trip was definitely a part of it. So, honestly, just jumping into things in life, that's our advice.
The therapy. Jump into some things head first, and, you know, you'll never know.
Not concrete.
Yes.
Okay. So how did this trip start? We did not have access to vehicles. We did not have cars.
Yeah, I forgot.
Which makes things very difficult to get to ski hills.
But not impossible.
Not impossible. We did succeed. So we actually ended up taking, this is a complete shit show of a story. Oh, our original plan was, the first thing, we were trying to figure out how to bring skis on trains and buses. And
If you've never been on a train or a bus before, it's hard to bring skis.
Yes, it's hard to bring skis. And every single website you look up, they say they're not allowed. And then, like, you kind of arrive, and the bus driver doesn't give a shit. Like, the train, like, I don't know how trains work, but, like, I'm assuming, like, the train...
There's a train driver.
Look at the steering wheel. Ooh, we're going so fucking fast. Anyway, no, the train drivers, though, they don't care. So, honestly, just bring your skis. It's fine. We did not get hassled at all, which I personally was, like, laying up worried. At night worried about. We got in the first train, and our plan was that we were going to take a train from Kingston to Montreal and then a bus from Montreal to Tremblant, which was like 8 hours of transport for a trip that would have been 2.5 hours if we just drove it with a car. So
shade was thrown here.
There was a 40-minute turnover time between our train and our bus, and they were an Uber apart. So we knew that we had 40 minutes to make it from when our train arrived to our bus station, and like that was another thing I was stressing out. But we're fine. So how did this train trip go?
The train trip there sucked. It was, you know, long. It was via rail. You know, the Wi-Fi, like, wasn't great. But, you know, we were happy. We were together. We were pushing this, you know, whole trip. We had, you know, 9 days of fun, no school, you know, drinking and skiing together. And it just, it was, like, so promising. On the train, things went wrong. We got stopped behind another train. Another cargo train coming into the station or on the tracks ahead of us, and we had to stop. We were like, okay, you know, no, it's not a big deal. Trains stop all the time. However, this train stopped like no other.
It's actually awful that I'm still irrationally angry about this.
You were heated at the B-Rail people. Like,
yeah, it was. You argue. 2 hours. Our train was stopped for 2 hours for a traffic problem on a train track, which, like, fucking blows my mind.
Should not happen. Like, they have Excel sheets for this stuff.
Exactly. Anyway, so our train is stopped for 2 hours, and, like, you know, we're kind of doing the thing that, like, it's been stopped for 20 minutes. We're like, wow, if they, like, start in the next 10 minutes, maybe we'll be able to, like, run to our bus. Or if, like, you know, it's stopped for 30 minutes, we're like, man, maybe if we, like, spend all our money on, like, three lifts at once, then, like, maybe one will get us there. But no, 40 minutes passed. We knew we were going to miss our train. Our train was still tossed off by the time the bus left, like, still, like, an hour and a half out of Montreal. Like, it was not happening. So, life's going on, and we're, at this point, freaking out, because we're looking at the buses, and Tremblant is, like, there's not a lot of buses that go to Tremblant. There's not another bus that goes to Tremblant until the next morning, and, like, we don't really have, like, anywhere to sleep, anywhere to stay.
That was terrifying, especially for me. It was, like, you know, like, I definitely had to do a little bit of convincing of mine to get my parents to go, and, like, they expected constant updates to make sure I was safe in, you know, like, this new city away from home, and I did not know how to tell them that we had no way to get to where we were supposed to stay in Tremblant from Montreal, which was, you know, a pretty big distance. And I did not know how to tell that we would probably have to sleep outside on our bags and to keep watch.
Yeah, so we're freaking out a little bit, and we're going through this. We're trying to figure out a solution. There's no trains. There's no buses. Absolutely no buses. We can't figure it out. And by some, I don't know if it's a grace of God because it costs $100, but by some luck, we managed to find on the airport website that we could take an airport shuttle to Tremblant. This is like a bougie airport shuttle. Like we would not spend $100 on a shuttle trip.
Jet.
Exactly. Like this is for like people like they got it included in their like flight, you know, these all-inclusive deals. It's not something you're supposed to go out and pay for. So like the fee was obscene. It was like
it was above $100.
Yeah, it was above $100 each for like this 2-hour trip
one way
on a shuttle. So like it was awful, but that was fine. We soaked the money. We like kind of jumped off our train at like the wrong stop. We got off at the airport instead of where we were going, which was like interesting because, you know, that was like fully committing to this. And like now the airport, if you know Montreal, is like really where you don't want to be homeless, like downtown Montreal. Like, I don't know. I think we could have figured out sleeping on the streets, but like airport streets, middle of winter, I don't know. Wouldn't have been bad. But now we're in the airport and this shuttle that we booked that we like spent all of our remaining cash on is like 8 hours away, or maybe not 8 hours, 6 hours, something like that. It definitely was coming in late. I think it came at like 9 p.m. and we got there at like, you know, 4. So we had like a lot of time to go, and we're just sitting in the airport. And Ben, like, I think everyone can relate to this. What are your thoughts on airports?
Let's see. When I was a kid, I definitely fluctuate. If you can imagine, like what is it, like a parabolic curve that goes up, down, up, down, up, down, like
you're a thinking sine like a wave. Sine curve.
Yeah, sine curve. We'll go with a sine curve. You know, up, down, up, down, up, down. You know, that's me. Kid you know, likes the words at, up, down my, a lot. At my age and my appreciation for airports, you know, when I was really young, baby, you know, I definitely hated airports. You know, cried all the time. You know, my ears got clogged. You know. Got a little bit older, you know, enjoyed airports. Like, you could run extra fast on the running tracks. And then, you know, I got a little older and I realized, you know, airports weren't so great. You know, no Wi-Fi, no Netflix. And then now I'm kind of coming into this 18, 19, and I'm like, wow. I'm like, regular people don't have to, like, you know, waste time missing out on the internet and YouTube at airports. They can just have beers.
Yeah, this is actually something that's really cool about this trip. We were both 18. So if you know about Canada, the drinking age in Ontario is 19, but the drinking age in Quebec is 18.
Let's go!
So, like, we were so excited that we were, like, legally allowed to consume alcohol as full adults. And, like, we were prepared. Boys. So, like, we're all kind of sad. We, like, spent our money. We go to the airport, like, man, we just need some airport beers. We got airport some time to kill.
Beers.
And so, yeah, we just started mucking these airport beers. And
I felt weird. I don't know how you felt, but, like, sitting there in an airport, you know, this was probably my first, you know, legal drink, and it was in an airport waiting for a $120 shuttle, but it was, like,
yeah,
it
no,
was right.
It was definitely, like, a weird thing to do because I feel like we were both committing to that now we're getting drunk, and, like, we have a plan. Our first plan already shit the bed. We have a new plan, and we're going to try to execute our new plan, like, while it's drunk. So, like, definitely good decisions. But It worked out. The shuttle came, and, you know, as things do.
Oh, did it? It came.
Interesting.
It came. interesting choice of words.
So, yeah, the shuttle arrives.
Arrived.
And we mounted the shuttle.
I have arrived.
Jeez. We mount the shuttle and proceed to Tremblant. We arrive pretty late.
The shuttle to Tremblant.
Wow.
Okay. Deep breath.
So we arrive in Tremblant, depart from our shuttle, and the first thing we do is we find a taxi that takes us to our Airbnb. Yeah. And, like, at this point, we have spent just so much more money than we were planning on. Like, we were so religious about doing this trip on the cheap that we had, like, spreadsheets for everything. And, like, the first day, we'd already blown past our budget for, like, everything that wasn't transport and,
like that,
Airbnb.
That $100 for us was our, like, going out and, like, having beers, you know, going to the club, like, getting wings and, like, poutine after, you know, Beaver Tails liquidated.
Yeah, that was like our fun money that we set aside for the trip. And we're like, okay, we have a problem. So the first thing we do that night is we're in like the town of Tremblant. And wow, Tremblant food prices.
Yeah.
There's definitely a bit of a scam going on there.
Exact opposite of cheap.
How much did you say a loaf of bread was?
Oh, sleeping with three strangers.
Exactly. Minimum.
You washed dishes for what, eight hours?
Yeah, and they gave me like a bowl of soup. It was awful.
French fries.
No, so we kind of get our grocery supplies, and we're going to this grocery store. And groceries is probably a bit of an aggressive term for what we bought, because we definitely bought, like, what did we buy? We bought ramen.
Ramen and peanut butter and white bread.
Yeah, we bought ramen, peanut butter, and white bread. Oh, yeah, Nutella was, like, our treat. Like, we dumped sack on Nutella.
Oh, my God, it was probably $8 for, like, the tiny thing of Nutella.
And, like, we had to, like, ration that. But, no, so we kind of go back.
Cereal. We bought cereal, too.
Oh, yeah, cereal as well.
Okay.
And yeah, so now we have our grocery stuff, and we're going to head back to Airbnb. So we arrive back for a grocery trip at our Airbnb, and like the scene is kind of sad. Oh, the other thing we really spent money on is a six-pack of beer. And like we got a six-pack of Stella's, Tall Boys, and like it was like $6, $5 a beer in a grocery store. Like this was not healthy. Like not healthy beer prices. So we got to have to ration those as well. We kind of arrive at the Airbnb.
Beer a night.
We know that we're going to be skiing the next day, but we don't have too much to do. This Airbnb is like tiny, like literally a room with a queen bed and a washroom. So like, what are we going to do? So we kind of have like the most valuable resource we still have at this point is weed. So we break into our valuable resource We do that for the evening. We had definitely like kind of a sad high night. But it was fine. We woke up the next day. We were kind of like a little bit more over this like huge spend of money. And we're going to hit the ski hills. So that was awesome. We had an awesome day skiing.
Man, skiing was a trip. If you've not been to Mont Tremblant before, I would recommend going.
Yeah, I don't know. I think everyone who skied knows what skiing is. And everyone who hasn't skied should try skiing. What I really found interesting.
Still knows what skiing is.
Yeah, and still knows what skiing is. But what I found really interesting is like chairlift conversations, and for Tremblant it's a gondola. So that's what I really enjoyed. I think that's where we really had some interesting interactions of our trip. And I'm trying to remember some cool ones. On the chairlift, we're in Tremblant, and Tremblant's in Quebec, right? And, like, we're far enough north that most people there are French. And I can speak French. Ben comes from the States where they don't have culture. Ben cannot speak French. He knew a few words.
I took French for, like, 4 or 5 years.
Ben cannot speak French. Like, I don't know why you bring that up.
Coucher avec moi.
I've taught him one phrase. It's pretty important.
I'm very proud of it.
Those who know what it means, you know what it means. But, yeah, so most of the people in the chairlifts are French. And French people have especially Quebecois, have an interesting attitude towards English speakers. They're a little bit kind of dismissive. It felt like, you know, you'd start speaking English on the chairlift and they just start ignoring you, which, whatever, that's fine. But I think I definitely had some of the funniest interactions that I could speak French. Like, I exclusively spoke English with this kid on the chairlift, and I'd hear these people talking in French and, like, you know, talking about how we're, like, obnoxious teenagers, yeah, like, what we are.
Exactly.
And I always find that really hilarious, and I clung to that. But, yeah, throughout the skiing day, skiing was great. We got some good powder days. But I think what people want to hear more about is the nightlife and what we did around skiing. And, like, this is for anyone who does ski trips, is into skiing, you're thinking of going somewhere to ski for spring break. It's not just about skiing. It's about the experience. So tell us what our experience at Tremblant.
Things that made this trip good were definitely the schedule we had. We worked in, you know, a good schedule. We would wake up early, you know, 7, 6:30, 7:30 to hit first tracks. And it was a bit of a groggy wake up. One funny thing about our Airbnb is that we had no dishes, at least for like the first 2 days or 3 days. It's like you had to message our Airbnb owner who lived in like the apartment above us to get dishes. And he like delivered us a care package like 3 days in, which was a lifesaver. So on like the third day, we were able to eat breakfast consisting of cereal because we had bowls we could eat it. Like our first 2 days were like peanut butter breakfast. We would, you know, make lunch in the morning, you know, peanut butter sandwiches. We would just stuff in our pockets with granola bars. Did we do animal crackers?
We did not.
No, trail mix. Trail mix, right?
Animal crackers was an addition halfway through the trip, I think. I think we made a restock for groceries.
Yeah, groceries, okay. Crackers. But yeah, we had the, you know, granola bars, trail mix, everything for the day. So we'd go out, we'd ski all day, and then we'd be off the mountain, you know, 3:30, 4, roughly before it closed, and we would go get poutine or beaver tails and kind of make our way back towards the bus to bus back to our Airbnb. We'd get back to our Airbnb, we'd completely strip everything down, you know, we'd unload ski stuff, get a little high, hang out for a bit, you know, debrief the day, and then rally a dinner mission. We'd do ramen, you know, out of our bowls. We were eating like kings, you know, boiling water in the, you know, whatever, electric kettle. And then, I don't know, what else?
Well, so what I thought was really interesting about this trip is, so our Airbnb wasn't right by the mountain. There was about like a 10-minute drive. Something that definitely wasn't really walkable, especially in like any kind of ski gear.
Uphill both ways.
Yeah, uphill both ways. And there was a bus route, a very inefficient bus route that could take us to the mountain that we could use. And that's what we used, I think, the first day. That's what we planned on using. Like, we planned this trip. We like looked up that there was this bus that could take us to the mountain. But it took forever. It cost like $2 each way, which, you know, wow, that's
so expensive.
So expensive. So, you know, we didn't want to spend $4 a day on transport. So we kind of like, after that first, we kind of looked around at each other, like, you know what, let's hitchhike. Like that'll be fun. So the like second, third day, we decided we're going to try hitchhiking. And like, I think neither of us had ever hitchhiked before. Have you ever picked up a hitchhiker before, Ben?
The law specifies that I can't say because then I have to tell you where I hid the bodies. But no, I have not.
Interesting. I thought you were just going to go with no. But okay. So yes.
Take that last part.
Yeah. So no, I have picked up hitchhikers because I'm a good person. And maybe I just don't have like, you know, any fear of death. But that's fine.
He likes eating them.
Yeah. No. So we were pretty new to hitchhiking. Like, we'd never been hitchhikers before. So we do this hitchhiking thing. We're kind of scared. But works out fine. We get picked up like every day from like then on. We're getting these rides to the mountain, which is sick. We get to meet different people, having lots of fun. I remember what stood out to me. There's like one car that picked us up. They didn't really know how they were getting to the hill, and they asked us for directions. And it seems so weird that you pick up random strangers on the side of the road and then ask them to tell you where to go.
I think they were trying to kidnap us.
Yeah.
Low key.
And then they saw us up close. They're like, we don't want them. No, so the hitchhiking was really cool. That was definitely an experience that stuck with me. Anyone who anyone who hasn't done hitchhiking before, I would highly suggest it. It honestly, it's a cool experience. I think it's kind of part of being young, and like, obviously there's dangers involved, but if you're in a relatively safe area.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. I want to emphasize that. Second point of therapy, try hitchhiking in the right situation. If you're at home and you're really bored, you know, it is COVID-19, you know, don't take our advice literally. Don't go out and hitchhike right now because we said it's something you should try. But, you know, definitely, if you're on the run,
yeah, no,
hitchhike it. Let's see, what else? Oh, my goodness. Our one night that we rallied together, our going out money and our fun fund was a disaster.
Like, it actually baffles me how many elements of that night were a shit show.
Yeah,
like,
that went wrong.
I feel like I'm already forgetting them. So, did you want to start? What was the first thing that happened?
Well, the first thing that happened is that, you know, on our shoestring budget, we decided that we should go out and get food in Tremblant Village. You know, unbeknownst to us, we definitely thought, you know, food prices were a lot cheaper. You know, we were looking for wings and pitchers. We thought it was a lot more in our budget. But that is not where it starts. It starts at leaving the Airbnb. In leaving the Airbnb, there was the bus route, the infamous bus route, $2 each way that we had to get to the mountain. We look at this bus route map, and we're like, okay, you know, there's a bus coming, you know, our direction to the mountain, the exact one we want, in like 15 minutes. Now, 13 minutes passed, and there's a bus, and we're like, oh my God, like, it's got to be our bus, you know, just a little early, which buses always are. We go over to the bus driver, and we're like, hey, like, you're going to Tremblant, right? And he goes, oh, yeah, Tremblant. And we got on the bus. And the bus did not go to Tremblant. We got on the wrong way for the loop. So the total bus loop was probably, what, an hour?
Like an hour and 15 minutes.
And we were on it for almost the whole way.
Yeah, we went. It was about a 10-minute bus ride from like our stop to Tremblant. And we went the entire opposite remaining of the loop. So like an hour and 5 minutes.
Oh my goodness.
And we like didn't really realize that this had happened until like probably like 20 minutes in. At which point like we were completely screwed. Like we were out of like the ski hill territory. We were not seeing chalets anymore. We were seeing like, you know, the small rural Quebec town people. And like it was kind of getting scary. So we're like, we're just going to huddle on this bus until like, you know, it goes all the way back around and like takes us to where we want to be. And eventually it did. I think it definitely broke our spirits a little bit.
That was a cute bus ride, I would have to describe it. It was we were afraid because we had no clue where we were. We were the only people on the bus. The bus driver just kept giving us, you know,
like weird looks,
stank eyes.
Because like we'd been on his bus for an hour and like we'd gone all the way around, like what were we doing?
This guy, you know, probably kidnapped people, you know, and it never been as easy as this. He could have just driven away. We also, oh man, I did not bring headphones, and you brought headphones and started listening to music like 20 minutes in because you realized it would be a mission, and like my ass was not going to sit there and not listen to music, so we...
Yeah, we were doing like that couple shit with the same earbuds.
Yep, same earbuds. That was a good time. But we made it. We made it to Tremblant, okay? Chapter 2 at Tremblant. We get to Tremblant. We go up the mountain. We go to the, slopeside restaurant. We get in there. This is, like, everyone's told us, like, this is the bar. This is the place to be. Was it the Caribou or was the Caribou the club?
The Caribou was the club. Yeah. We were in, it had, like, something to do with the sky. Because it had that, like, remember that sky painting? Yeah, name had something to do with it.
Like a tree. Or it had, like, branches in it or something.
Yeah.
It was weird.
Anyway.
We get to this restaurant, you know, we get in there, it's posh, you know, there's some other people our age, we see other schools maybe on school trips, we're like, wow, like, you know, we're back, like, we're still far from bikinis, but we're getting, you know, a little step closer in the right direction.
Step up, maybe we could, like, arrive at a hot club, if, like, a hot tub.
A hot tub with a hot tub.
That's like our fixation was hot tubs, like, our goal for that week was...
Chalet hot tub.
To find a group of people that had a hot tub.
That was the mission. So we're in this restaurant, and, you know, we're excited. You know, this is our first night out for the whole ski trip. We're like, wow, we're going to the club after this. This is going to be a good time. You know, let's, like, pound some wings in a pitcher here because we can drink. We get a half pound of wings, a pound of wings?
A pound of wings
and a pitcher to share, and we ate it and enjoyed it so thoroughly, and then the bill came, and I almost ran away.
I think, what was it? It was, like, $55, $60
for,
like...
with tip, it was, like, 60-plus for... pound of wing
and for pitcher. Like maybe being able to feel like a slight tingling of beer, like that was like the extent of our drunkness. We're gonna continue on, we're gonna mission. We start like walking back down the street to like the area of the like little ski village where they have the nightclubs, and Trombla is like famous for its nightlife, and I don't know how much I agree with this so much, but Trombla is famous for its nightlife. So, and we were pretty excited. At this point, we still have like our rose-colored glasses on, like we think we're going to have the time of our lives tonight. And so like, we arrive at this first club, and there's not really much of a line, kind of go outside, and we're like right by the door, there's like maybe two people ahead of us. And then, like, it was so weird because...
Everything happened so fast.
Exactly.
Like, when we say that, it's not cliche. Everything happened so fast.
And, like, suddenly, it's just, like, a massive fight between, like, two 30-year-olds in front of us. And, like, the one guy was, like, feeding the other guy. And
undercuts. Like head down, undercuts.
And like, this was, like, maybe 5 feet from us. And, like, we didn't, like, really see it start happening. We just, like, started, like, seeing, like, this shit going everywhere. And, like, everyone around us, like, start freaking out, like, you know... Either people are running away or, like, trying to join this fight. Everyone's, like, yelling in French. And we're just like, man, we just, like, want to get into the club and, like, find some nice women. And these guys are out here, like, beating each other up.
When we say it literally spilled out of the club, it literally spilled out of the club. We were standing there. Everything's calm. We're ready to go in. We're just waiting our turn. And then suddenly these two guys out the door hitting each other. Three more people circling. People running, screaming. We were so close, we actually almost got hit. Like, were we?
Yeah, yes.
We were like, not, like, 3 or 4 feet away from, like, this direct fight.
And it was just, like, going everywhere, like, you know, and there's, like, it was, like, two groups of guys who were kind of, like, they were really fighting, but it was, like, it was two groups, and then, like, kind of two central guys that were, the bouncer came in later. The bouncer came in later. Remember, he called, like, Tromblon Security, and, like, the Tromblon Security guy was, like, the most, like, pipsqueak little man ever, and he kind of comes up, and he's, like, yelling at them, and, like, it's kind of the point where, like, they realize, like, they don't really have much of a future in this, but he has no chance of physically stopping this guy's, and, I don't know, at this point, we kind of bailed in this whole, like, this club idea, we're, like, we're gonna go to a different club. So,
I was never more afraid of a club in my life.
Yeah, so we missed that. We go to the next club, and...
I think it was completely empty.
Yeah, we line up, completely empty.
I think we did choose to go on it. It was either Wednesday or Thursday.
Yeah, it was definitely not the greatest night of the week.
Yeah, it was a tough night.
But we walk into this, like, this is a bit of more of a bar scene. We kind of walk in, we look around, there are very few people in this bar. Definitely very few, like, girls in this bar, and then girls our age just did not exist in this bar. So we kind of do this look around, and we, like, look at the drink menu, and it's, like, $12 shots, and we're like, we're leaving.
Yeah, I'm actually gonna go eat snow.
Yeah, so we kind of like bail in this restaurant, and at this point, like, it's awful. Like, it's negative 25 degrees out. We have, like, spent, like, way more money than we wanted to. We have, like, not achieved our goals of reaching a hot tub, like, even close. Like,
almost naked and afraid.
Exactly. And so, like, we're cold, and we're like, you know what? Fuck it. I just want to ski tomorrow. I just want to go home.
In my half of the bed.
So, we kind of walk down to the street, and we call a taxi. And, yeah, we call this taxi. We're waiting for this taxi, and we're waiting for ages. Like, we've been probably waiting in, like, this negative 25 degree weather for, like, 20 minutes, which, like, isn't, I guess isn't ages, but, like, it felt like an eternity.
I feel like it was, like, more than 20 minutes.
Well,
like,
no, it's 20 minutes, yeah, and then about 20 minutes in, a group of guys kind of rolls up.
Oh, man, 5-6 guys with, like, their ringleader being, like, probably 6'8", 6'9", easily, like, 300 pounds. Like, this guy...
Okay, I think that's maybe a bit of an exaggeration.
Really? He was big, no?
Man, 6'9", do you know how tall that is?
Okay, 6'5", you know, we'll talk about 6'3", 6'4", 6'5", somewhere in there. But, like, this guy was about as, like, big as...
He was definitely chunky. Like, I remember him, like, having some meat on them bones.
Man's, like, had some muscle. And we're sitting there outside, cold, huddling, you know, next to each other, like, two small skinny kids. And these guys just kind of come down the hill, all rotty and body. And it's funny because they also wanted a taxi. And, like, you could hear them yelling at each other about how they ordered a taxi and how long it took. The first place where we started getting afraid is when this big guy came over to me and he says, hey, he goes, you got a vape? And being like a
the little
cynical,
shit you are,
little shit, sarcastic motherfucker, I look at him and I go, what's a vape? And he kind of looks at me and goes, oh, you know, like you suck on it and, you know, like he spits out like nicotine. I was like, you suck on it? And this guy was obviously, you know, a little more intoxicated than me, you know, struggling to explain to me what a vape was. And I'm just looking at him like the most, you know, puppy dog eyes, like, wow, like, what is this? Like, how can I help you find this? And he goes, yeah, so like, do you have one? Like, do you know what I'm talking about? Like, do you have one? And I looked at him, I go, do you have a vape? And at that point, I was probably this close this close to being punched.
You know what the funniest thing about that conversation was? Is that I had a vape on me. Like, I think that was the
breeze.
Yeah, that I had, like, this breeze, which is, like, part of the ski trip. Like, you know, the ski bum attitude. And that, like, I thank my, like, my lucky stars, like, every single day that I didn't think to, like, let this person, like, use this. Because that interaction was gonna go foul. So...
So after he kind of stomps off after realizing, you know, we're just being, you know, cynical and sarcastic to him and we're not going to give him a vape or his nicotine buzz, he kind of like wanders away and we try and like sort out our taxi situation with like fever. Like we were like calling the company again and we were like, yo, like you didn't forget about us, right? Like you got our phone call, like this wasn't fake. And we probably waited for what?
Probably another like another 20 minutes. Yeah. And they're waiting. They're probably like, you know, 25 feet from us, that they're waiting for like a taxi as well. There's like this group of guys, and then we just kind of like hear them like also getting really angry about like these like, taxis coming.
Yep.
And we just hear like the one like scary guy say like, yeah, if like someone took our taxi, I could fucking kill him right now. And we're just kind of like, like is our taxi gonna come and are they gonna take it? And like we're terrified
we
of thought that,
we
right?
were gonna be bullied. We've been
like,
I was so scared.
Yeah, like I thought they were just gonna like the first taxi was gonna show up, like our shit was not gonna have a chance. And, like, we kind of, like, you know, we steeled ourselves. Like, we made this pact. Like, we're not going to, like, let these, like, big guys take our taxi. And, like, when this taxi arrives, like, that is our taxi. Ben's from New York. Like, we can figure this shit out. So, what's it called?
We, like, Bracken.
Taxi shows up. And, like, immediately, we just mobbed this taxi.
Ran.
Like, ran at this taxi. Like, opened the doors. Like, rip our shit in. We're like, go, go, go. We'll tell you where we're going next. Taxi leaves. And we're kind of, like, sitting in this taxi. Like, wait, this is their taxi. Like, this is a different company.
The funniest part, like, I'll never forget opening that door and the taxi guy looking at us and being like, oh, and, you know, 94-3, like, Rue de St. Park, and, like, that is not our address. That is not where our Airbnb is, nowhere close, and we just get in and go, yeah, sure, let's go. Get in, slam the doors, he kind of looks at us a little questionably, but he's like, hey, you know, money's money, it's a ski town, these are ski bums, and he just drove us away.
And, yeah, and we survived that. I don't know, it always seems hilarious to me that, like, we ended up taking their taxi.
Yeah. The group of, you know, six of them with their ringleader, you know,
probably deserved to get punched.
Yeah. Wow.
But yes,
we survived.
Yeah. We make it back that night. We're still kind of like, at this point, like we're not happy that we survived. Like we are sad. We are like kind of still
would have been easier.
Aftershock terrified. Like we didn't like, you know, still our going out mission failed. We'd like gotten rid of our fund. So like now, like, if we're going to go out again, like, it was going to have to be, like, a phone call to the parents.
Energy depleted. Willpower depleted. Money depleted. Booze depleted. Sense of fight depleted.
Yeah, so it was interesting. But we get back, you know, we kind of crawl into bed, or like depressed selves, wake up, continue the trip. And other than that, the trip went smoothly. We kept skiing for the next few days until, like, this crazy coincidence happened. So
second to last day?
Yeah, it was second to last
day. Second to last day. Waiting at the bus stop, we're all packed up, you know, ready to go home and just lay in bed until we wake up and ski again tomorrow. And we were just talking about Queens, we were talking about class stuff, you know, whatever, people we miss, classes, you know, whatever we missed, library hangouts, just reminiscing. And this kid, you know, I can't say kid, he was a year younger than us.
Yeah.
Standing, you know, over 3-4 feet to the left of us with his own bag and ski helmet, and he's got like the red instructor's jacket. And he kind of looks over at us and he's like, hey, he goes, You guys go to Queens? And we're like, oh, yeah. Like, do you go to Queens? And he's like, oh, no. Like, I'm not in university. But I used to go to school with someone that, like, goes to Queens. And I'm like, oh, like, no way. Like, who is it? Like, maybe he knows. And he goes, oh, yeah, he's in, like, the, you know, the commerce, like, business program. I was like, oh, no way. I'm in the commerce business program. He goes, oh, yeah, like, this kid is a Harrison Solish. Now, you know, all of you probably don't know who that is. You've never heard the name before. But this is a kid in one of my classes who I was, like, you know, not super close with at the time, but, like, definitely friends with him. We've gotten a lot closer, and it was just so random hearing this random kid at a bus stop tell me that he was best friends with someone who I knew, and it was just, like, the most random kind of connection.
And, yeah, we ended up skiing together. He had an older brother, and we ended up skiing with, like, the both of them for, like, the entire day. It was super awesome. Like, we messaged this Harrison kid about, like, the experience, and he, like, confirmed completely that they were, like, great friends, and... That this has happened, which was awesome. And then, yeah, it ended. Like, the trip was over. It was our last day of skiing. I remember it felt like when the trip started that, like, there's, you know, it felt like we're going to be skiing forever and being sore forever, and then suddenly it was over. And so now we're on our way back. This time, you know, we catch our bus properly. We don't have to take this $100 shuttle. Everything's, like, going wonderfully.
Everything is going wonderfully.
Yes.
We are on track for a perfect exit strategy. We are following the plan to a T, down to a second, until we get on the last Via Rail trip. This is the last stretch. This is Montreal to Kingston, baby.
Yep, we're going home. We've got all our stuff loaded in the Via Rail. We, you know, we've had a little bit of a snack, but like we're fine. It's like maybe a 2.5 hour train ride, and we're chilling. Train leaves, everything's going fine. And then suddenly our train just starts slowing down and it comes to a stop. And some guy comes on the announcements, and Ben, what did he say?
He said, "Hi folks, we're going to be stopped indefinitely. We have struck something on the tracks."
And
all we knew.
Yeah, so it's something. We're like, okay, like indefinitely, like maybe just like did some damage. And then, like, you know, probably 30 minutes later, they come into the announcement, they're confirming that this something is a someone, and that there are police on the scene, and that until they complete, like, a complete investigation to figure out, like, why this happened, we were not going to be able to move.
We were literally part of the crime scene.
Yeah, exactly. We were part of the crime scene, and until the crime was solved, like, we had to remain part of the crime scene. So, we were there for, like, 6-7 hours.
Pause. Let me just emphasize this again. We fucking hit someone. Like, our Via Rail steel ton train plowed someone over. It was kind of terrifying.
Yeah, it was definitely like a bit of a sobering thought, and I don't know, this is a bit of against the vibe we've had, but it was definitely like we were kind of taken aback and didn't really know what to think about this. That, like, we couldn't be angry at Via. We, like, you know, we couldn't be angry at the police.
It was like a terrible thing.
Yeah, it's like a terrible thing had happened. Like, we were unhappy, and, like, we just had no one to be angry at, no one to blame. It was just, like, you know, the universe being cruel. And, yes, we just waited there. And we were there for ages, like, 7 hours. And, like, at this point, we are starving. And do you remember what they brought us for food? Like,
Pretzels.
Yeah. We'd probably been, like,
airplane pretzels. Like, as maybe 3 or 4 in a bag.
Yeah, exactly. Like, one bag of pretzels, we'd been stopped for, like, 6 hours. Because, like, they serve food, but, like, do you think we were going to order food from the train?
Buy food?
No. So they give us these pretzels, and at this point, like, we're just, like, starving. Like, everything's awful. And, you know, finally, like, 7 hours later, they complete this investigation. They figure out that there was no foul play involved in this incident. And, yeah.
The man in the middle of nowhere who got hit by the train was not pushed.
Yeah, exactly. And so then we continued on. We arrived back in Kingston. Things are going well. Life is good. We've got a full day before classes start again. People are slowly starting to arrive. Kind of, you know, go back to our res rooms. We get some, like, food that was on meal plan. It was free. And then we also, like, ordered some Uber Eats because we wanted some more food afterwards.
It was a good time.
It was a good time. It was kind of like this big decompress. And I don't know about you, but I just felt, like, very existential, very, like, completed that, like, we managed to put together, like, this crazy trip. All, like, these crazy stuff had happened. And, like, we had, like, nothing bad had happened. Like, in reality, we came back in one piece, and, like, that this just has happened. And, like, I was just so excited that this had happened, and that, like, this is what my spring break was got to be. I gotten, like, so much more close to you as a friend. Like, I think you feel the same way. And that was just awesome. And that getting to do something that just, you know, jumping in head first, so happy about it. So I think that kind of wraps up our story of our first spring break.
I would describe it as Paris love in the springtime.
Interesting. I'm very curious to know what you mean by that, but that might be an off-camera conversation. But yeah, well, thank you very much for listening. I'm Arye.
This is Ben.
And we'll see you guys next time.
Enjoy.